Good morning, everyone. Good morning. Grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. It's so good to be here with you all this day. I want to lift up a few announcements as we begin our service. If you are finding yourself with too much candy, or if you would like to find yourself with too much candy, and would like to donate some for our Easter egg hunt for the children, it's going to take place on Easter Sunday. But there's some little boxes right next to the manna food barrels for the tuna. Please remember we're trying to, once again, for a 14th straight year, raise a ton of tuna, or at least donate a ton of tuna. Maybe not raise it. I don't know much about farming tuna personally, but we can always donate and help out our brothers and sisters in need. And we can also help our kids have a nice time on Sunday morning. Easter Sunday for the Easter egg hunt. Please contribute as you are able. Also, our Holy Week services are going to be starting very soon. We're going to have a good Monday-Thursday service, Thursday of Holy Week at 7 p.m., April 17th, and we're also going to do a Good Friday service. So I hope you'll be able to come and participate in those special services during Holy Week. Also, 6:45 a.m. on Easter Sunday out here by the cross, we'll have a sunrise service that will be a little different than what you may have experienced in the past. It'll be instead of just not having the choir sing and that sort of stuff, it's going to be kind of a bridge between the time of Holy Week and Easter. It's kind of an Easter vigil service if you've ever participated in one of those. So come and participate in something maybe a little different. Also, this Thursday, 7 p.m., is the trustees' meeting. Is that correct?
7 o'clock.
7 o'clock. Anything to add? Nope. Customarily, nothing to add. Thank you, Scott. Merritt, do you have?
Yes, I'd just like to say on behalf of the Missions Committee, thank you to everybody who helped this week with the Room in the Inn. We had between 9 and 11 women each night for the last 7 nights. They left this morning. And those who aren't familiar with this project know that there are innkeepers, up to 3 innkeepers a night. There are people who make dinner. There are people who make breakfast. There are people who make lunch. There are people who drive. There are people who move mattresses. So if you've done any of these things this week, or are planning to move mattresses next week, because we still have them, would you please stand up?
Thank you all for all of your help this week, and I'm sure that the ladies from Room in the Inn offer their thanks for our hospitality as well. One other announcement, if you would like to take part in a new study that we're going to be doing just after Easter, if you don't know who Francis Asbury was, who our church is named for, there's a wonderful biography that just came out last year that was written about him called American Saint. And what we'll be doing, you won't need to read the book necessarily, though you're encouraged to, but I'll have a study guide, a discussion guide, that sort of thing prepared for us. And so you don't even have to have read the book. But if you'd like to come and learn and talk about Francis Asbury and who he was, and a brief spoiler maybe, our church is even mentioned in this book. And there's a picture of Daniel Killian's cabin as well. So please come out after Easter. Just let me know. Send me an email or just tell me and I'll try to remember. But if you'd like to participate in this study, please come and let me know. Sally Ann. We'll figure that out once we see what time works best for everyone. Most likely, though, Monday evenings. But I'm not ruling out a morning one either. So it just kind of varies. We'll figure out a time and place once we figure out who all wants to be part of it. Well, if there are no further announcements, I invite you to stand as we join together in our opening hymn number 314, In the Garden. Thank you. And I invite you to remain standing as we turn in the back of our hymn books to the Psalter, to number 848, as we read responsively from Psalm 130. Out of the depths I cry to you, O Lord. Lord, hear my voice.
Let your ears be attentive to the voice of my supplications.
If you, O Lord, should mark iniquities, Lord, who could stand? I wait for the Lord. My soul waits. In the Lord's word, I hope.
My soul waits for the Lord more than those who watch for the morning, more than those who watch for the morning.
O Israel, hope in the Lord, for with the Lord there is steadfast love, and with the Lord is plenteous redemption. Please be seated. And I invite our children to join us down front for our children's time.
So good to see you. Really, really good. Always good to see you. Now, I have something in here, I hope. Just a minute. And I want you to tell me what it is. I'll bring it round and you can see. What do you think that is? It does look like an onion, doesn't it? But it's not an onion. Done. Very good. No. It looks strange, doesn't it? It is. It's something to do with planting. There, I'm going to tell you what it is. It's what is called a bulb. It doesn't look very much at the moment, does it? It's not a light bulb. It's a bulb that makes a flower. And we see lots of those around today. It's just gorgeous outside. Everything's bursting with new life.
I planted one of those, and like our class has this like little garden, and we planted those before.
Oh, and you're going to watch them grow. Beautiful. A lot of them are growing already. But what would happen if we just left this as it was? It won't grow. Well done. It would die if we left it too long. So what do we have to do with it? What do we do first? What do we do first with it? We have to put it in the ground or in a pot, which some of you have been doing at school and planting flowers. So, you know, if we don't plant this, it's not going to be alive. So what we have to do, give it a lot of love and compassion and water and sunshine, lots and lots of things to get this flower to grow. It's just so beautiful. But it doesn't look very much now because it's not got life in it at the moment. So I want to just tell you about Jesus and a family that he was very, very fond of. Jesus had lots of friends. But he had friends that he cared for that he liked to visit. And it was Mary and Martha and Lazarus. And you know what happened? Lazarus became quite ill. So Mary and Martha sent a message to Jesus to say, please, your friend Lazarus is sick. Please come and make him well. Well, Jesus was quite a way off, and it took a long time to get from one town to another those days. They didn't have cars or buses or anything like that, or bicycles. They had to walk everywhere, so it took Jesus quite a while to get to the village where Mary, Martha, and Lazarus lived. And when Martha saw Jesus coming, she ran to him and she said, "Oh, Jesus, if you had come, my brother would not have died." And so she believed that if Jesus came, and she said, we've buried him. He's been buried for 4 days. I want to read you a little piece from the Bible. And it says, this is Martha talking to Jesus. "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. But even now I know that God will give you whatever you ask of him." Jesus said to her, "Your brother will rise again." Martha said to him, "I know that he will rise again in the resurrection on the last day." And Jesus said to her, "I am the resurrection and the life, and those who believe in me, even though they die, will live. And everyone who lives and believes in me will never die." Well, Mary and Martha took Jesus to the tomb where Lazarus was buried. And he told them, everyone that was there, to roll away the stone. That reminds us of something at Easter time, doesn't it? Anyway, so they rolled away the stone and Jesus called, "Lazarus, come out here, Lazarus." And so Lazarus came out, and he wasn't sick, and he wasn't dead. He was alive because Jesus loved him and had compassion for his friend, and he was able to come out of that tomb and live again with his sisters. So I want you to think of the flowers. Oh, I do have a flower. From that bulb, I'll give it to you later. So these are what grow from that bulb that I just showed you. So look at the beauty and how God cares for everything. And he also cares for all of you and everybody here this morning. So when you see the flowers, you can think of that story and how life came to it because it was treasured and put in the ground and cared for. God sends water and rain, but if it's in a planter home, plant pot, we have to water it and care for it and love it. Okay? Can you remember that? Let's stand and say a little prayer. Shall we stand? Put your arm through mine, darling. Heavenly Father, please bless these little children and help them to grow up to love you and realize that you care for them and love them and have compassion for them. So we ask these things in your name. Amen.
Thank you, Margaret.
Let's try and get someone that's not done it very often, okay? So you take one side, darling, and you go that side.
While the bread tins are circulating, I'll say a bit about what they are. Our bread tin collection is a loose change offering for a different purpose each month. This month, we'll be giving the collection to the Blackfeet Methodist Parish. If you've ever seen pictures of Glacier National Park, what I think is one of the most beautiful places in the country, the Blackfeet Parish is just at the base of those majestic mountains. And in the midst of all that beauty, there is just some abject poverty. And some of the situations on the reservation there are just really in need of great help. And so our gifts this month of April will go to help the Methodist churches there at the Blackfeet Parish. It's composed of three churches, Babb, Browning, and Epistodoke United Methodist Churches. All three of which are mission parishes. And so any little bit that we can do that can help will go a long way. So thank you for your generosity and your support of our Methodist brethren on the Blackfeet Reservation. And we'll see you all back shortly for communion. Thank you. Well, before our prayer for before our scriptures are read, let us join together in our prayer for illumination, as printed at the bottom of the first page of our bulletins. Let us pray together. Lord, we wait for you, and in your word we trust. By the power of your Spirit, set our hearts and minds on the source of life and peace. Jesus Christ, our Savior. Amen. Our scripture lesson this day, which Margaret read some of, I almost called her Martha, which Margaret read some of earlier, is taken from the 11th chapter of John's Gospel. It's another of those lengthy readings, the last one you'll be pleased to know. But the story is the only time that Lazarus gets mentioned and the raising of Lazarus. It's a story that we all probably know fairly well, but it's only in John's Gospel that we hear it. So hear these words anew. Now a certain man was ill, Lazarus of Bethany, in the village of Mary, Lazarus of Bethany, the village of Mary and her sister Martha. Mary was the one who anointed the Lord with perfume and wiped his feet with her hair. Her brother Lazarus was ill. So the sister sent a message to Jesus, "Lord, he whom you love is ill." But when Jesus heard it, he said, "This illness does not lead to death. Rather, it is for God's glory, so that the Son of Man may be glorified through it." Accordingly, though Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus, after having heard that Lazarus was ill, he stayed 2 days longer in the place where he was. Then after this, he said to the disciples, "Let us go to Judea again." The disciples said to him, "Rabbi, the Jews were just now trying to stone you, and are you going there again?" Jesus answered, "Are there not 12 hours of daylight? Those who walk during the day do not stumble because they see the light of this world, but those who walk at night stumble because the light is not in them." And after saying this, he told them, "Our friend Lazarus has fallen asleep, but I'm going there to awaken him." The disciples said to him, "Lord, if he's fallen asleep, he'll be all right." Jesus, however, had been speaking about his death, but they thought he was referring merely to sleep. And then Jesus told them plainly, "Lazarus is dead. For your sake, I'm glad I was not there so that you may believe. But let us go to him." Thomas, who was called the twin, said to his fellow disciples, "Let us also go that we may die with him." When Jesus arrived, he found that Lazarus had already been in the tomb 4 days. Now, Bethany was near Jerusalem, some 2 miles away, and many of the Jews had come to Martha and Mary to console them about their brother. And when Martha heard that Jesus was coming, she went and met him while Mary stayed at home. Martha said to Jesus, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. But even now I know that God will give you whatever you ask of him." And Jesus said to her, "Your brother will rise again." And Martha said to him, "I know that he'll rise again in the resurrection on the last day." Jesus said to her, "I am the resurrection and the life. Those who believe in me, even though they die, yet shall they live. And everyone who lives and believes in me will never die. Do you believe this?" She said to him, "Yes, Lord, I believe that you're the Messiah, the Son of God, the one coming into the world." And when she had said this, she went back and called her sister Mary and told her privately, "The teacher is here and calling for you." And when she heard it, she got up quickly and went to him. Now Jesus had not yet come to the village, but was still at the place where Martha had met him. And the Jews who were with her in the house consoling her saw Mary get up quickly and go out. And they followed her because they thought she was going to the tomb to weep there. And when Mary came to where Jesus was and saw him, she knelt at his feet and said to him, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died." And when Jesus saw her weeping, and the Jews who came with her also weeping, he was greatly disturbed in spirit and deeply moved. He said, "Where have you laid him?" And they said to him, "Lord, come and see." And Jesus began to weep. So the Jews said, "See how he loved him?" But some of them said, "Could not he who opened the eyes of the blind man have kept this man from dying?" Then Jesus, again greatly disturbed, came to the tomb. It was a cave, and a stone was lying against it. Jesus said, "Take away the stone." Martha, the sister of the dead man, said to him, "Lord, already there's a stench because he's been dead 4 days." But Jesus said to her, "Did I not tell you that if you believed, you would see the glory of God?" So they took away the stone, and Jesus looked upward and said, "Father, I thank you for having heard me. I knew that you always hear me, but I've said this for the sake of the crowd standing here, so that they may believe that you sent me." And when he said this, he cried out with a loud voice, "Lazarus, come out." The dead man came out, his hands and feet bound with strips of cloth. And Jesus said to them, "Unbind him and let him go." The word of God for us, God's people. Thanks be to God. Let us pray. O Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be pleasing in your sight, for you are our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Do you all remember report cards? Maybe for some of you, you still get them. You probably very much remember report cards. Ryan, right? Just a big smile. That's okay. I came across a report card that was my grandfather's from the 1930s this week somehow. Yeah, I don't know how. There was a folder that had all sorts of stuff in with some cookbooks that my wife had, and she was going through the recipes there looking for something, and she found this report card from the 1930s. It's a wonderful, instead of being blue, though, like mine always were, it was a little yellow sheet of paper. It might have originally been white, who knows. And I loved the simplicity and the directness of those report cards. It had, instead of math, it had arithmetic. I wondered if it had a category of are your dungarees nice and looking good, or your, you know, anyway. I love arithmetic. That was great. But though my grandfather didn't have perfect grades in all of those categories, there was one category that really just stood out to me, perhaps because I don't really see that anymore, and maybe it's just the higher grades don't have those, but participation. You ever see participation on the report cards? Well, my grandfather had a check plus all the way across on that thing with participation, and that was so much like him because he was always very active and involved in everything that he did, from being a city councilman and stuff to his role in the church. My grandfather always had a check plus when it comes to participation. But as I was reading through the gospel lesson, that 45 verses there from John, the story of the raising of Lazarus, as I was reading through that, I was struck by one thing this time. And that one thing was the amount of participation that happened in this story. I mean, we tend to look at these stories that involve Jesus and to say, oh, Jesus did this, Jesus did that, Jesus said this, Jesus taught that you should do it this way and not that way. But what I was really struck by in this story is the amount of participation from the folks gathered there, from Mary, from Martha, from the crowd. Lots of participation that happened as part of this, that we could even make a case for saying that that miracle couldn't have happened without the participation of so many others there. The miracle begins with a group of people showing Jesus the way to where Lazarus had been entombed. Did you see that? We get all this note about geography and that Mary and Martha came to meet Jesus on the way, and then Jesus didn't know where Lazarus was. Had it not been for the people showing and taking Jesus there to where that need was, Jesus wouldn't have found Lazarus. Participation, the community there helped show Jesus and to bring Jesus to the place where he needed to be. But not just that. It doesn't end there, does it? I mean, Jesus is telling all sorts of stuff. At one point, he even gets kind of irritated with the disciples where he says, Lazarus has gone to sleep. And they said, oh, Lord, if he's gone to sleep, he'll be okay. And then he says, no, Lazarus is dead. And so they go to Bethany and they find the tomb there. And once they're at the tomb, once Jesus has talked to Mary and Martha, once Jesus has wept, you know, the shortest verse in all of Scripture, Jesus wept. Or as the NRSV translates it, Jesus began to weep. We hear and see another element of participation. And that is, Jesus says to the crowd gathered there, what? Move away the stone. Roll away the stone. Now, our gravestones are little smaller markers, and they're still pretty heavy, but back then, if you had a tomb that had been hewn into a cave and had a big stone rolled in front, we already are seeing images of Easter morning, aren't we? Already in this story, 2 weeks away from Easter, we're seeing all of this stuff coming into our heads. And there's a gigantic rock rolled over the tomb. And there's more than a little hesitation amongst the crowd about how right it is to be moving that stone at that point. I love the King Jimmy translation there where it says, but Lord, he stinketh. He stinketh. He's been dead for 4 days and already there is a stench. There's some hesitation about the necessity of rolling that stone away, isn't there? Jesus, you're too late, it seems to be the assumption by everyone there, Mary and Martha included, and the disciples even. Jesus, had you been here when my brother was ill, he wouldn't have died. Jesus, had you been here? And Jesus tells them to roll away the stone. And miraculously, they do. I love the artwork through the ages of this story. So many of them have things like this right here. They have their noses covered as Lazarus, looking like a mummy, comes bounding out of that tomb. And you gotta love just that image of life in the midst of death. That image, just like the daffodils that Margaret showed. Life in the midst of death. But, again, with participation, that stone had to be rolled away. Lazarus couldn't roll it away himself. Lazarus couldn't have made it out of the tomb were it not for someone moving that stone. I was just so struck by the amount of participation that took place in this story. Not just with showing Jesus where the tomb was, not just with rolling that stone away, but finally, we even hear Jesus' final command to the community. He says what? Unbind him and let him go. Jesus doesn't unbind Lazarus. Jesus gives life to the dead man, something that no one else could do. But Jesus didn't roll away the stone. Jesus didn't find his own way to the tomb. And Jesus didn't take those bands of cloth off of him, unbinding him and letting him go. That was all stuff the community did. That was all stuff that people other than Jesus did. Participation. If Jesus, when he was physically present, needed the help of others, how much more so does Jesus need our help now in his physical absence? You and your work are important. Everything you do is important, even moving a rock. It might seem menial. It might seem useless. What's the point of moving that rock? Lord, he stinketh. Let's not bother moving that rock, you know? But Jesus calls us to do those little things. And without those little things, those great things, never seem to happen. Jesus calls us not just as a sense of duty to do this stuff. Jesus calls us not just to join in and help out because it's the right thing to do. Jesus calls us to help participate in a miracle. Jesus calls us to help bring new life to dead places. And that, in and of itself, should be wonderful news and great good news. We aren't charged with bringing the dead back to life. That's not what Jesus tells us to do. We're charged with bringing Jesus to the place where he can do that, to the situation where Jesus and his presence can be made manifest, to those places and to those people who really need to see and experience Jesus in their lives. We're not called to be the ones bringing the dead back to life, but we are called to point the way and to bring Jesus into those places where it can happen. We aren't called as followers of Jesus to raise the dead, but we are called to move the rocks. You know, we're called to move those rocks. And so often we just say, he stinketh. He stinketh. But Jesus calls us to move those rocks, not to raise the dead, but to move the rocks. And furthermore, Jesus calls us not to bring new life to dead folks, because we don't have that power, but we do have the power to unbind them and let them go. We do have the power to remove whatever those trappings might be that keep people bound and unable to move, whether it's under the tatters of sin and death, whether it's under the tatters of whatever. We do have the power to unbind them and to let them go. Participation. The great theologian Woody Allen. I love to call people great theologians who aren't great theologians. It's a fun thing. But Woody Allen is credited with that quote of saying that success is 80% showing up. 80% of success is just showing up. Well, I would counter that and say success is 90% participation. Just showing up and participating. We might not be capable of giving the gift of life, but we're certainly able to participate, to show up. We might not have the best grades in the world with everything. Arithmetic is not everyone's strong suit. However, participation is mandatory in the kingdom of God. You don't have to do things you can't do, just what you can do. Christians aren't called to work miracles. You're not called to bring new life to the dead, but you are called to move a few rocks. I think there are a few outside and maybe even inside. Let's get to work. Amen.
This time, let us take our hearts, our minds, our very presence into God's arms. Let us pray. Holy God, we come before you with a list of names in our bulletin and more that have been added as I lift up Rochelle, one of our Room in the Inn ladies, Merle Buckner, who fell again and broke a hip, Eleanor McGeary, Mia Lumpkins, and Clara Sykes particularly. Hear the other names that are raised silently and or read from the bulletin at this time. Lord, in your mercy, we know, O God, that habit and routine can make reality come alive. We live by habit and routine. Much of our lives are ordinary and uninspired, and then suddenly out of habit, meaning bursts, like Lazarus rising from that tomb. Out of routine, a glory comes. For a moment, we know life is good, and you are real, and Jesus indeed can perform miracles. So we proceed along the way, poking and prodding at life, laughing and weeping, smiling and scowling. Keep pushing meaning at us and prodding us with glimpses of glory. For we are nearsighted and so apt to overlook the good things that are at hand. Lord, in your mercy, you surround us with opportunities to love and to serve and to participate. You give us the stuff of life, food, books, work, wonder, beauty, dreams. When the going is hard, you give us courage, comradeship, hope. You give us times to pray and times to praise, times to complain and times to be thankful. Hear our silent thanksgivings at this time, O God. Lord, in your mercy, you have given us a big, wide, wonderful, awful world in which to live. We see desolation and destruction, madness and meanness, cruelty and coldness, and yet we're able to open our doors to bring women in, AA and NA groups and others who are looking for a place of refuge. A place to be still, a place to call on your name. Help us to continue to participate in these ways, O God. Lord, in your mercy. We also see helpfulness and kindness, acceptance and tolerance and goodness, occasionally even greatness among people. Help us to identify evil for what it is and to identify ourselves with goodness, healthy sinners, striving to be healthier and more helpful in all the ways that we live. Help us to model and mentor that for others, knowing that we don't always do the right thing. We can't always be the perfect one, but we are your children, and we are striving. Lord, in your mercy, help us to prepare our hearts and minds in these last days of Lent as we come up on that Passion and Palm Sunday. May we truly take time to reflect what you have done for us and how we are responding, how we are participating or not participating. Nudge us, O God, always forward to do your will. Lord, in your mercy, and hear silently now those last prayers we wish to lift to you.
And now from all that God has so richly blessed us with, let us offer our gifts to him.
You read this bread.
Let us pray. Gracious and loving Heavenly Father, we give you thanks for all that you have given to us. Accept these our gifts to you, that they might go to make this world a better place. We offer them in Jesus' name. Amen. Please be seated. And I invite you to turn to page 15 in your hymn books for a service of Word and Table, version 3. You're invited to follow along with the words printed in bold.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them up to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give our thanks and praise.
It is right and a good and joyful thing always and everywhere to give thanks to you, Father God Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. You created all things and called them good. You have given life to all your creatures and new life to those in whom you breathe your spirit. And so with your people on earth and all the company of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn.
Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. Holy are you, and blessed is your Son, Jesus Christ. He taught many and healed many people and raised Lazarus from the grave so that you might be glorified. And by the baptism of his suffering, death, and resurrection, you gave birth to your church, delivered us from slavery to sin and death, and made with us a new covenant by water and the Spirit. On the night in which Christ gave himself up for us, he took a loaf of bread, and he gave thanks to you, and he gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me." And when the supper was over, he took a cup of wine, and he gave thanks to you, and he gave it to his disciples, saying, "Drink from this, all of you, for this is my blood of the new covenant, poured out for you and for many, for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink of it in remembrance of me." And so, in remembrance of these, your mighty acts in Jesus Christ, we offer ourselves in praise and thanksgiving as a holy and living sacrifice in union with Christ offering for us as we proclaim the mystery of faith. Christ has died. Christ is risen. Christ will come again. Pour out your Holy Spirit on us gathered here and on these gifts of bread and wine. Make them be for us the body and blood of Christ, that we may be for the world the body of Christ, redeemed by his blood. By your Spirit, make us one with Christ, one with each other, and one in ministry to all the world until Christ comes again in final victory, and we all feast together at that heavenly banquet. Through your Son, Jesus Christ, with the Holy Spirit in your holy church, all honor and glory is yours, Almighty Father, now and forever. Amen. And now, with the confidence of the children of God, we are bold to pray as our Lord taught us, saying, "Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. And give us this day our daily bread. And forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen." Because there is one loaf, we, though many, are one in Christ Jesus our Lord. The bread which we break is a sharing in the body of Christ. And the cup over which we give thanks is a sharing in Christ's blood. In the United Methodist Church, we practice what's known as an open table. Anyone who wishes to partake of this gift of grace is welcome at our table. I invite our servers to come first, followed by the choir, and the ushers will direct you when to come forward. Christ, Sally Ann, broken for you. Haley, the body of Christ, broken for you. Conversion, Doug, no. Doug, body of Christ, broken for you. There you go. Body of Christ, broken for you, Steve. Body of Christ, Ann, broken for you. The blood of Christ, shed for you. Blood of Christ shed for you. Christ's blood shed for you, Doug. The blood of Christ, Steve, shed for you. And the blood of Christ poured out for you. Amen. Thanks be to God. Come, let us keep the feast. Body of Christ broken for you. Joan, the body of Christ broken for you. Bruce, the body of Christ broken for you. Deborah, the body of Christ broken for you. Rebecca, body of Christ broken for you. Let us pray. Eternal God, we give you thanks for this holy mystery in which you've given yourself to us. May it give us strength to put aside our sinful natures and become alive in you. Grant that we might go into the world in the strength of your Spirit to give of ourselves for others. In the name of Christ Jesus, our Lord, we pray. Amen. Go in peace. Body of Christ broken for you, Jimmy. Body of Christ broken for you, Dan. Jane, the body of Christ broken for you. Kitty, the body of Christ broken for you. Martha, body of Christ broken for you. Cora, the body of Christ broken for you. Jennifer, the body of Christ broken for you. Lila, body of Christ broken for you.
Let us pray. Oh, what a joy it is to come into your holy house and receive this holy meal. Bless us that this may indeed be a blessing on our lives and a blessing to others as we leave this place and participate in your world. Amen.
Let us pray. Eternal God, for this holy mystery, for this holy life, we give you thanks. Unbind us, O Lord, from all that would keep us from serving you, that we might, with all our spirit, with all our strength, with all our might, give of ourselves for others. In Jesus' name, amen. Go in peace.
Let us pray. Let us pray that you will hear, that we will hear you call our names, O Lord, calling us out of our tombs of whatever is keeping us back from serving you as fully as you are calling us into your life. Call us out as Jesus called Lazarus. Call us out to be in ministry in the world, now and always.
Let us pray. God of life, God of love, God of peace, we give you thanks for this mystery of holiness, for this gift of life and this gift of new life in which you have given yourself to us. And, O Lord, as we leave this place, help us that we might give of ourselves for others, for we offer our lives and our prayers in your Son's holy name. Amen. Go in peace.
Thank you.
my favorite movies is Cool Hand Luke, and we get to sing a song from it. I think maybe this might predate the movie, though. Just a Closer Walk with Thee, number 2158. Let's stand as we offer our praise. Draw near to God, and He will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. Go in peace. Amen.